Do you want to move from burned out to fired up? Welcome to Leave the Job You Hate for the Work You Love with Marty Murphy. Marty is a career coach, certified EFT practitioner, and former corporate captive who helps business professionals overcome the fears that keep them stuck in the job they hate.
Welcome, everyone. I am your host, Marty Murphy, and as always, my intention is to bring you helpful content to assist you along your journey in taking your own big leap into the meaningful work you love. And I was telling my guests right before we started here that I feel like today is a do-over because I interviewed Carol a couple weeks ago and was having some technical difficulties, so the show didn't fully air. And this, to me, just shows just how cool Carol is. She was like, no problem, Mercury's in retrograde, we'll just do it some other time. So here we are, and we're going to do this interview again. So I'm thrilled to have her back on the show, and I feel like I get a double bonus to actually do this twice. And now you get to hear it. So Carol is she is in the business of empowerment. And she shows you how to peel back deep emotional layers of cellular memory through the use of somatic psychology. Carol empowers you to release the issues in your tissues through her life-changing training called Sacred Body Language Awaken Within. This creates a deep, intimate connection to your life purpose, fueling the light of your soul. As a presenter, Carol charms her audiences with her unique blend of sacred body language, face reading, wisdom, and candid humor. And having been in her presence, I can absolutely attest to that. And Carol is a sought-after keynote speaker, best-selling author, and award-winning teacher. She has shared the stage with New York Times best-selling authors T. Harv Eker, John Gray, and Doreen Virtue. She is a North American spokesperson for the magic of body-mind connection and oversees thousands of students, practitioners, and teachers in the psychosomatic therapy. Spend a few minutes in her presence and feel your body come alive. And again, I can totally attest to that. So Carol, thank you so much for being here twice. I totally appreciate it. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Great. Well,
realize it. This is my passion.
Yeah, and it's so, I just want to say this to our audience. I have been to two of Carol's workshops, and I'm going to be doing some more training with her in October in Sedona, and I'm totally thrilled to do it. The moment I was in her presence, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. And it was just, like, I don't know if I blinked, and I blinked a lot, so it was so great to do those with you and to be a part of that, so I'm especially thrilled to have you here today. So I'm just going to start right in with some questions so the audience can learn more about the work you do. And I love this, Carol. You say the body never lies, and can you explain that to us?
Well, the body has all the intelligence. Most people's bodies are on automatic pilot with gestures and movements, and people don't think how they're moving their body. And the body has a language of its own, and it's the true language. Our brain can make up all sorts of stories, but the body tells us exactly what's happened in that person's life because we're all walking autobiographies of our life and our life experiences and our DNA. So the body says it all. You can't hide much. But like we say, the issues are in the tissues, right? So
yeah.
And most people don't communicate with their bodies fully because they're living in their heads.
I know that's been true for me. Could you give an example that, like, how you might notice somebody's, you know, in their body in a way that maybe they're really unconscious to that would help them to kind of wake up to that?
Well, simply just even by posture and awareness of what's going on inside. And the I mean, with every movement and gesture, it is telling us a story about that person and how that person's acted and reacted to their life experiences and where their insecurities are, shows up in the bone structure and how much the flesh has fleshed out, or if it's when what part of the body has been in a flight pattern or a fight pattern through the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. And if there's a lot of tissue on the body, there's a lot of issues underneath, buried inside. So that type of person would be more in a fight pattern because they stand their ground and they bury it. Then a flight pattern is very little tissue on the body. They just think they have no issues. But at the same time, there's nobody home. There's no consciousness in that part of the flesh.
Oh, wow.
And you can feel that just by the quality of flesh on the body. Is there action and reaction going on in that part of the body and in the muscle system? Because the muscles are messengers. And now we can pump our muscles up to protect ourselves. Like when someone does a lot of bodybuilding, they're actually putting on armor. And because they're consciously pumping up that part of the body. So that can be in a, that's a fight pattern too, because it's like putting on a coat of steel, armoring. And here again, very little tissue on the body. Then the muscles are lax and gone lethargic. Then they're just hanging in there. There's not much communication either. So there's very little consciousness in that part of the body. I mean, for women, I see a lot is in the upper arms. Can be very little tissue, or the, you know, sagging upper arms. Like it's almost like they have wings. They can be very thin, but there's lax. The flesh is very spongy, if you want to call it.
Yeah, so what would that say about someone that's their upper arm has the spongy flesh on it?
Well, that's often the upper arms is part of the heart chakra. So So there's probably not feeling love, or they don't want to feel in their heart, basically, in what they put out there. So a lot of times it's coming restriction in the solar plexus, because solar plexus, that would be in the waist area on the body, but it's also in the elbows. And if a person holds their arms very close to their body constantly, then their most movement is coming from the elbow and the forearm. So that's an insecurity of protection of the heart.
You know, Carol, this makes so much sense to me, because a couple years ago, my daughter was—I was driving her to school, and she was like playing with my upper arm, like with her finger, like sort of going back and forth on it. And I'm like, "What's up?" She goes, "Mom, you've got bingo wings." And I'm like, "What?" And so she explained to me. And when you raise your arm, it's like it's flesh you're up there. And I don't have a lot of it, but I definitely notice there's more than there used to be, and it totally resonates with me about, in my own life, at times when I felt this need to protect my heart, you know, or I put up that strong front, and yet, you know, I'm sort of brokenhearted inside. So I was like, well, as soon as you said that, I'm like, wow, that totally resonates with me for certainly areas that were, you know, when I do that in my life. So it would make sense that that's showing up, you know, on my arms in that way. So it's just fascinating.
Well, see, the body is telling us that, because it's pulling in right at the elbows, and then the arms aren't supporting us. And a lot of people don't even know what to do with their arms, especially workshop leaders and presenters is what I work a lot with, right? And they just stand there, and they don't know what to do with their arms if they're not speaking with their hands. I speak with my hands all the time.
And, yeah.
That makes it more dynamic and coming from the shoulder area, not from the elbow. So it's a strengthening of your inner expression to the outer world.
So yeah, that makes sense. And when I was up in front of you in that one, I just figure I might be a good example. I remember I stood up and I was using my one finger and I was pointing a lot. And I remember it was like, oh, that means, correct me if I'm wrong, there's a lot of judgment there.
Yeah, you were probably using pointing. The index finger and it's
yes,
pointing.
Yes, I was using index finger. Yeah. Yeah, and I have paid attention to that.
Well, here we're not even, it's that inner critic or that judge, and it's, and we tend to do it to our outer world, but what really is happening is that we're probably 100 times more judgmental of ourselves.
Yes, yes.
And, but you're indicating it, yeah. So there's an inner critic, and that's, and it's not always negative criticism. It criticism actually means to critique. To hone in and judge, critique something. Well, a judge can be fair also. You know, that's what, not all negative. People think judgment is a negative word. It's not. If the person's got good judgment, what do they got, right? They can decipher through things. So, yeah. So we like to, you know, that softens the blow a lot. It's not that you're necessarily judging the world that much. It's just... You like to hone in and critique things also.
Yeah, oh, that was so resonated into definitely being a harsh inner critic to myself as well. And, I mean, I've certainly been judgmental with other people. But, yeah, that was really eye-opening. And what I love about your work, too, to me, it seems like it fits so well with the EFT world. You know, because with EFT, we're doing the tapping to bring up limiting beliefs. And then you've talked about deeply held beliefs get trapped in cellular memory in your flesh, which is what we were talking about, and how when we're unaware of those, like, that holds us back. So could you explain that more, even just by, say, moving the body differently, something that it could actually help you, whatever way you explain that, because you explain it really well.
Well, the... just repeat that just of the question. Sorry, I just went off for a second.
Oh, no. Yeah, no worries. So, like, our deeply held beliefs.
Oh, holding back cellular memory, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The cellular memory stays really good within the body, but sometimes I think the masters on the other side are erasing our brain memory right now. I must have had a brain fart or whatever.
Oh, I've had a few of those myself lately. No.
You can't remember 5 seconds ago. The cellular memory is because when energy is flowing through our body, and, you know, right from, I mean, when we're born, right? But we're all energy beings. But as the energy is coming through us, it's our negative experiences that get trapped in the body, because when you're in love or the whole, you're on top of the world, everything's going great, energy is flowing through you like crazy, right? And you're not trapping it because you're in ecstasy almost, if you want to call it, if life's orgasmic, right? But what happens when something negative happens, like, you know, you're yelled at even at 3 years old, no, don't do that, and the body contracts. Or if Auntie Martha says, you know, shut up, you can't sing, and the dims the light within us. And those get trapped in the body, those feelings of I'm not good enough, or I'm not accepted for who I am. And then that starts to chip away at our center core, our light, if you want to call it. And it dims the light of our soul. The innocent child is our soul, right? And the that starts to dim the light of that beautiful light that's within all of us. And then we start playing small. And that shows in the physical body insecurities. When I talked earlier, if there's insecurities, we can see it right in the body. Like if a child hasn't felt love from her, even the mother's womb, the breastbone is often indented. And almost like you can put a fist in the breastbone, and that's even not feeling love even from the mother's womb. Now, it's not a matter of the mother not loving the child. It's like the mother didn't know what love felt like. So there's very little consciousness in the heart chakra. Even a lot of people, if they're not breathing in, I mean, in our class, as you realize, when we teach people how to hug and how to breathe while you are in the presence of someone, you're expanding your energy and people can feel you then. And even holding a child, make sure we're breathing, the child will pick up on that. and they'll feel that love. Or if someone holds their breath, there's no action and reaction, so you can't feel the energy. So here the mother might not be loving her own self or her situation that she's in, and she's carrying that child, but also those feelings as a small child will feel that same thing. You couldn't feel their mom. Their mom wasn't present, or even if the mom's always out working, but the mom can be right in your present the whole presence the whole time, but her mind is somewhere else. She's not present with that child. The child feels it.
Oh, I mean, I know that, you know, from having a daughter of my own, because I was, before I'm doing what I'm doing now, not that I still don't do this to a degree, but being on the phone a lot with the business that I had before. And really, my daughter at one point said to me, "Mom, you know, can you not be on the phone, like, you know, some of the time?" And it really struck me, and I thought, wow. So after that, I just made a correction. I'd be, you know, so curious. I was feeling my own, you know, chest bone. But make a correction where I was like, "Hey, you know, I got this call. I want to return it. Is that okay with you?" And I felt like that was so important, and it made so much sense to me that my own behavior was that way, because I was just mirroring, you know, what I had learned. But for her to be able to feel the freedom to say that to me and to be able to correct that, I think that could, in fact, change your body structure, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're taking a few breaths, and yeah, you're being present in that moment, right? Yeah, slow down. I mean, so many people are just living in their, like I say, their heads. They're not even realizing what's going on. And even kids, since they act up as soon as parents get on the phone, it seems like, because they don't want them on the phone, right?
Right, but, so true.
And if they can't feel you, yeah, I mean, it's not a healthy feeling in the child's body now, and in that body that can hold back. If the child's not breathing, that part of the body doesn't develop as strongly. Like we see people with, you know, half from the waist up, they're really small, yet they've got big hips and like a pear shape almost. And then the consciousness isn't in the heart chakra, and it's not bringing the energy up through the body.
You see, this is the stuff I think is so fascinating that you talk about. I remember at one, and there was someone standing up, and you asked this person about their father, knowing nothing about them. And they were like, "Wait, how'd you know that?" And you were reading the body. And I'll never forget this, Carol. You said, "I'm as psychic as a brick."
Yeah.
And you're just reading the body. And I thought it's just astonishing to me. So I think it's such a great combination too with EFT. So you can walk around and look at someone and just know what's going on for them by looking at their body. That is fascinating.
Well, it's so tangible. That's the thing, is that that's where it hits home so hard, so deep in the cellular memory. When I'm reading someone or teaching, I mean, I teach people how to read it. Anyone can learn this stuff. It's not rocket science. It's just structure equals performance, right? So the, but if I can point it out where in the body that I'm seeing it, then it rings true, because it's the cellular memory of the flesh that I'm talking to. I'm bypassing the conscious mind and talking to the subconscious mind, and your body is the subconscious mind. What's going on way in the background there that we're not even noticing? We might think of it as white noise, but it directs our habitual patterns. It directs even our thoughts. If something, you know, we want to do something and put something very creative out in the world, and then there's that inner critic comes in, might be your mom or your dad's voice or grandmother or whatever that runs in the DNA. Who do you think you are that you can do that? And part of us holds back now, because who do I think that I'm going to shine my light so bright because of our experiences? And like I say, that dims the light, and it's until we go in and start to reprogram those things in our inner world, for one, first of all, to be aware, and that's the number one key, because we're going to talk about three sacred keys. And number one is to harmonize our inner world and be very aware of what's going on inside of ourselves. And it's our awareness that we can change in the moment. It's like we start right from the very foundation of where is our focus going? And the very foundation of our body, our physical body, would be our feet. And how you realize, you know, what made a huge difference for most people in the room is even realizing which way their feet are going. And that's, what are you focusing on? So our whole body is like a biofeedback machine. And even if you do EFT or you're doing tapping, taking out an issue out of the body, but if the person doesn't change their posture and the structure within themselves and breathe into that part of the body, those same patterns can start reoccurring again. So it's like you could fix a vehicle or, you know, change something in a vehicle, but if the tires are still not aligned, it can go back into creating more havoc in that part of the body.
Well, and that makes so much sense to me. That's why I think it's such an amazing combination because, you know, EFT is sort of this turbocharged way to do that. But then if you're paying attention to the body as well, you can really see tremendous lasting results, which is huge. That's why I love it. And since you brought up and we started talking about the three sacred keys, could you go into those and tell us about each of those? That would be great.
Yeah, well, that the third sacred key, if we count down, is here again, is the awareness. And starting with the feet, and I like to give people on the call at least something tangible to change with they can do right now, is just stand up and look down, at, you know, they're driving, definitely don't, but but if you stand up and see which way your feet are going, and if they're going in two different directions, or if just even the right foot is out or the left foot is out, the right side of the body crosses over into left brain function. So that's all about our analytical brain and our masculine side. And it's about giving us direction in life because the left brain is very analytical. It likes math and numbers and structure. And that's when someone's very left brain, they're very analytical, like we say. But if that's out, then we're losing direction in life. And then if you look at the other foot, the left foot indicates, is about purpose in life because it crosses over into right brain function, which is our creative feminine side, our nurturing side. And so if these two are going in two different directions and our purpose and our direction is out, and so if we bring those back into alignment, then we're using the mechanics of the body properly. And in order to do that, we put our feet together and now step out the width of your own foot, not the length, the width, which is about, 3 inches or so. And now the ankle joint and the knee joint and the hip joint are all in alignment. And you won't need hip replacements and knee replacements because you're using the mechanics properly so that, you know, one muscle isn't stretched the wrong way and throws that whole dominoes effect all the way up the body, and then it throws out the lower back, and then you have lower back pain. A lot of people say, well, you know, everyone stands like that, right? It's almost like a bouncer stand. I said, well, it's no different than going pigeon-toed mechanically. Just when you're pigeon-toed, say if your feet are pointing inward, then it's more introverted, where if they're going outwards, splaying outwards, it's extrovert, so they're losing energy. And if you're introvert, you're pulling your energy back in. Then you're at cross purposes. And so, I mean, just changing that alone is huge for people. And they're wondering why they have different pain in their body. Well, if you're not using the mechanics of the body properly, it's wearing out in those parts. And then we're on the ball and we're going straight forward in life. That's what we want. Not too many detours. So, no, I mean, that's one thing, just that awareness of straightening the feet. I mean, that starts the process all the way up the body. But of course, we have to keep going in that awareness. So, and then that second key is the most powerful law in the universe. And a lot of people say, oh, the law of attraction. I said, well, the law of attraction doesn't work sitting on a bicycle. it's the law of balance. Everything is about balance. Mother Earth teaches us that, the whole ecosystem, and everything is about balance. And so it's about finding our inner balance so that we can harmonize what's going on inside. And that's all the way up the body to stack the skeletal system and use the muscles properly. Our body becomes like a scale, if you want to call it. And the whole spinal column, we've got to stack our spinal column. Otherwise, it throws out the spinal column, and it's like putting a kink in the garden hose. And any indent in the spinal column is going to create different problems in different parts of the body. And a lot of people are busting their back to please other people or bending over backwards. So that all happens in the middle of the back, where that's all the sacral area, which is our power center. It's our internal fire. It's where we digest our food, we digest our emotions, everything through our guts, through gut feelings. But if we're giving our power away in the solar plexus, either people have very small waists, and we say, what a waste of a waist, or they've had a gut full and then they have a big belly. So it depends on the tissue now again, and which chakra, that where the kink is, right? It can be, if it's kinked, if you're busting your back and it's more between the sacral area and the solar plexus, then usually their hips are cocked and they'll have a big, big butt because they're hanging on to life force, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we need to balance everything all the way up the spinal column. But how do we do that that's lasting is releasing in cellular memory what's locked that muscle up from a really young age. So with that conscious awareness, it can be like thousands of rubber bands of tension coming out of the body as we unravel and open up the spinal column so that and reinforce the spinal column with consciousness. And that's why in all our work, it's all about realigning our body so that the energy can flow freely through our body. But to understand that some of it's in genetic pools, we pick up characteristics of our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents, and those can run, but the energy is running through our DNA of different emotions that form the tissue on the body. And you come into this genetic pool to clear that. So when you change something in yourself, not just in thoughts, but in cellular memory, those things, you change cellular memory 7 generations back and 8 generations forward in the energy emotional body of the DNA. So anything you do, Marty, you're clearing it for your daughter.
I like that.
Your issues so that they don't become hers. So if you had an issue with, you know, like in a family, you know, dysfunctional, we all come from dysfunctional families.
Absolutely.
And if you have an issue that you haven't cleared with your mother or your father, even if they're here on the planet, or not on the planet, if you change that in yourself, it changes it for them.
Whatever. That's a very good incentive.
Yeah. But as you change it for yourself, you're not handing, history's not repeating itself.
Yeah.
Because your daughter will feel that shift in your energy field now, and she doesn't have to deal with it because you'll handle things differently when you're aware of it. So that's why we do a lot of reflective learning in our classes, and we unravel all of this understanding of ourselves. I mean, what better book to study on the planet, or what better subject than yourself?
Really, true.
How does Marty do Marty? So
I'm going to find out even more in October.
Oh, you're going to find out lots in October.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, so
Sorry.
Yeah, no worries.
Just so the listeners know that my father passed away last night, so that's why the phones are going crazy here.
Yeah, absolutely, Carol. And I'm just, you know, I so appreciate you being here. So, yeah, I mean, that's it's a big event, yeah, and especially following your mother. So, I wanted, as you talk about holding back energy, how can we tap into hidden stores of energy that are within us? And what I get, and you can explain this more fully, is things we're not utilizing that might help us. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. I mean, when we, you know how much energy, I mean, just go back to myself alone because of getting a strap in grade 2 and for wrongfully accused of cheating in a spelling test, right? And I got a strap for it. It takes a lot of energy to hide that insecurity within myself. I mean, it was not just the physical, that goes away. It's the emotional pain. For one, he didn't believe me that I wasn't. I mean, what, you know, I'm grade 2 in a one-room school, right? And I was telling this girl to be quiet, and he thought I was cheating. Anyways, but that affected me all my life. And I didn't realize how much I held in my physical body because I was always protecting that vulnerable little girl. And that stored energy is that when you release that issue, the whole body can open up then, because I felt that every day of my life, that I was never good enough. And since that unraveled out of my cellular memory, I can spell just fine. And now I love public speaking. Before, I couldn't even say my name in public. I was terrified. So now I can step into my greatness. Now that vulnerable, that now becomes my strength. It's not a weakness.
I love it.
Because I can tell my story, and it affects other people. Anyone going through childhood, something's affected them that they don't realize that is still running deeply in everything that they do because it's part of their makeup. But when we let that go and let the shame go, the whole body like releases. And now you can stand up for yourself and not hide that. So that's a tremendous amount of energy that releases. And I wouldn't have stepped into my greatness, where I can make a difference in the world. And as we all understand, it's, you know, someone that's working with people that are alcoholics, you know, if they've been an alcoholic, they're coming from a place of recovery. They're coming from a place of power now. Or anything that we teach, if someone's teaching about sexual abuse and they've been abused, it's healing for themselves, right? And becomes their power. Because we, like we say, our turning point story, right? When did we wake up to our greatness? And how can we shift that? Often it's, people might call it the dark night of the soul. Like to go through and then come out on the other side to use it, what we call diamonds in the dog shit. We find all the diamonds and then we see our greatness, right?
Right. I like that diamonds in the rough, diamonds in the dog shit, because I can attest that's certainly how it felt at times in my life. Yeah.
Most people sit in their dog shit. They don't get them out of it.
right.
But that's fertilizer. I mean, we need fertilizer to grow, otherwise we stay the same. And so embrace your challenges, breathe into them, and find the lesson in it or a beautiful learning of some sort. I mean, I think the hardest learning ever would be trying to find a diamond would be, I don't know, backing out of the driveway over your own child or something. That would be tremendous. I don't know where you can find a diamond in that, but if you find a diamond in that even, it's huge, right?
Yeah, and I really love how you're speaking to that, because I think in the work that I do, I see that whole idea that, you know, to me, it's we're so hard on ourselves, and of course we are,
because that's how we learn to be. And when we start freeing that up, you start to see how these things are such a benefit to you. And like you said, like the silver lining, there's always something beneficial or good you can find out of any situation, even like the darkest moments. And I certainly can attest to what I would call very dark times in my life. I can think of one of the darkest where I didn't sleep through the night for a year and my entire body broke out. And I look back on it now and I'm like, I would have never been here if that not happened. And I couldn't have gotten to here had I not freed myself of a lot of that, you know, probably cellular memory and all that that was in there as well. So seeing, because what I find too, Carol, sometimes people shy away from this work because it feels like any kind of personal development, it feels like it's too scary, it's too ominous. Oh my God, I can't go through that again. But it's like you go through it every day anyway. It's in you anyway. So when you go to free it up, oh my gosh, like how liberating in your life. And I think that's to me so much what your work speaks to is, you know, I've seen you at work. It's like you're reading somebody's body and I've seen people break down and then they're like, they look different afterwards, after you've done some corrections with them.
Well, they blossom through it and body feels understood, and that goes to the very center core of our being. There's a hurt little child in there that suddenly feels understood and loved, and that's when it releases because it's no longer an issue for that person. So then it can release. If we keep hanging on to issues in our tissues, it all bottles up. There's a big cesspool going on inside. And when are we going to look at this? I mean, people try to lose weight. They're going to lose the weight. And even Oprah does this, up and down, up and down, up and down. It's because they'll force the body into releasing the tissue, but then they get thin or release all this stuff, and then suddenly they feel vulnerable. So then the body puts the weight back on because the body doesn't want to feel vulnerable because they've unraveled. The tissue is off, so the protection is gone. But they haven't dealt with the issue. If they dealt with the issue, the tissue can go away just fine. So when you deal with the issues and the tissues, the body doesn't have to protect itself. It takes a lot of energy to, if you're 50 pounds overweight, to carry that around, for one thing, that's a lot of energy, but it's a lot of stored energy because fat's just stored energy. And some people processing too fast. There's nobody, like we say, nobody home in that part of the body. But if you bring consciousness into that part of the body and start to reinforce it, strengthen it through the spinal column with the understanding, then you can open that door and maybe spend some time in that part of the body. We call it, like, people have so many drawers that are empty, or closets, or a room in their house that's empty, it's dead space. So when you go in there and put some life back in, I'm using the, a house as an example.
Yeah.
Because often parts of the body, it's been numbed in that area of the body. That's why there's nobody home. It's numb. So there's very little consciousness there. I mean, a lot of people don't even know. When I first took this class, I have feet, and they mean something. And you can tell everything about a person just by their toes and their feet and their hands. And you start to come home and study your own flesh. That's when the consciousness comes home, too. Because if someone's in your house looking through all the drawers and rooms and your underwear drawer, you want to be at home, right? So that's what you come home and see what they're looking at.
right. Yeah.
And someone's looking at your eyebrows really closely and studying them, and you say, oh, I do have nice eyebrows. And you start appreciating all the parts of the body. A lot of women don't like their foreheads, so they cover it up with bangs. Well, my mission is to get all the bangs off women on the planet, because your forehead is your windshield, right?
Yes.
Did you have bangs before?
I did, remember, you told me, and I actually had somebody comment on Facebook the other day, hey, you've gotten rid of your bangs. They're they're grown out to the point now I wear my hair pulled back a lot, and I'm like, I totally got rid of my bangs.
Well, yeah, you've cleared your mind. Well, the windshield, you don't want to put a curtain over the windshield driving down an interstate highway. So hair is like antennas, so it's picking up frequencies too. So it can cloud our thinking because we've got all these antennas picking up frequencies, so we don't know which radio station that we're tuning into. So it can feel like static. That's why when we pull our hair back, we say we want to clear our minds. So, I mean, that's something people can do right away is just get rid of those bangs. And, well, as you understand, we wax people and take out hair out of the hairline to open up so they're a little more broad-minded. So, I mean, when someone has tape recorders going on, you know, in the temple area, and they mull things over and over and over again in the memory lobe of the brain so that we can tell if they're hanging on to old thoughts. And then which creates self-doubt. If you're analyzing too much, it creates the self-doubt. And so we clear these things. I mean, when you understand all parts of your body, I mean, you really start coming into your power, and you've been given this amazing, beautiful vehicle for your soul of this lifetime. Just learn how to drive the vehicle. And most people don't like themselves, and then the body picks all that feelings up, and you're not liking parts of your body. Well, it's like not liking your children, right? I mean, these are the company you're keeping. Love the skin you're in, no matter what shape you're in, because then it can change.
And I love this too, Carol. It's so near and dear to my heart because of, especially I think with women and everything that's put out there, we end up hating our bodies when they're really quite magnificent. I can think of different parts of my body growing up that I hated, and I actually now love those parts, and I'm like, wow. And I really, to start embracing this beautiful thing. Otherwise, we're doing all these alterations to our body. We're cutting our bodies and putting things in that shouldn't be there and taking things out that should be there. And instead of, like you're saying, really, it's just this is a beautiful creation, and we can actually change it when we change these energetic patterns in us, which to me so speaks to your work.
Right. Well, it's your garden. It's your home. You know, it's like renovate then. Like, you got to renovate the inside. You know, we can be very pretty on the outside, but if the inside's a mess, why not work on the inside, and then automatically it starts to show on the outside, because our inner world creates that outer world. Every thought has created this body. I mean, a baby comes in, it's got, you know, bone structure, it's got its DNA. But then it's our life experiences that start to flesh out that body. We can tell if someone's got really solid calves. They've been fighting, you know, like rock solid, heavy calves. They've been fighting from a very young age trying to stand their ground, like at 2 and 3 years old.
Dang,
and that's already
that like
pattern. That pattern has started. Or if someone's got very thin legs, they're more like go-getter legs. They're always running around. They can't sit still. So when you understand these different qualities of ourselves and habitual patterns, we can work with them and start making it into a gift. I mean, someone that's got solid like that, you can see probably very practical and down to earth in a lot of ways. But if they're working in the negative, they would almost go to a stubbornness that's happening inside. So we start to let go of all of these patterns and just be the innocent child that we are.
Well,
and
I love what
back
you...
to our... What?
No, go ahead. Please go ahead.
I was going to say, I just love what you're saying. Oh, it comes back to, I mean, the number one sacred key is awakening the body, awakening different parts of ourselves, and live fully in our bodies. And that takes a process of awakening different parts, because either it's been in numbness or denial or shut down, those issues pushed back down. But now we have to go in and stir it up and start to reinvent that part of ourselves. And that takes awareness, and that takes training not so. You got awareness, balance, and now awakening. Now, when we start to bring this, our whole body into balance, then those parts can awaken and stay awake, not go back into old patterns. So that starts to run the energy through us, and we're turning on all the lights on inside of ourselves, and right from the center core, the electrical part of ourselves. We're all energy, right? So there's electrical part running in the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system and how it's firing. But a lot of times, if there's issues in the body, now it's cross-firing in that part of the body. And we can have electrical fires and where it, you know, energy is stored in the liver, like anger. That's a very hard energy. It's masculine anger. So it's held in the liver. So it's not, the energy isn't flowing through our organs properly, which creates the disharmony and the dis-ease, because there's not an ease of energy flow. So we want to make sure the lights are all on and all the circuits are running in the right, you know, fully charged, and not cross-firing. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's a simple way of saying it, but I mean,
no, I love it.
There's
it
so
really
much.
Yeah, getting it, getting all those wirings correct and firing, then, like you're saying, let your light shine. Then that allows your light to shine. It's tremendous. We have about 13 minutes left, and I want to be sure we take some time here, Carol, for you to talk about, because I know you're offering some of your products at really tremendous discounts, and I really want people to hear about these. If you could speak to those and what they can expect. And I would just tell you, having worked with Carol and continuing to work with her, I highly recommend you check her out. You will not be disappointed. So,
do you have the link? I don't have it in front of me here.
If I can grab the link. And while I'm looking for the link, I just want you, can you give it, is there any other practical tips? You talked about the you know, like the heat, is there any other thing you could share that somebody could do just for now? You know, like, hey, this is what I can take away and start doing immediately.
Well, the feet for sure. And even standing up against a wall and start to feel your spinal column up against the wall and elongating it and finding that center core balance within ourselves. And a wall can guide us. And a lot of people, their heads aren't on their body. They've got to stick your neck out, right? And which creates all the tension in the shoulder. Now they got a shoulder life, right? So just coming back and relaxing the shoulders and up against a wall to run your neck up the wall so that starts to straighten up. A lot of people have a kink in their neck too, and they're not speaking their truth. So, and then here again, it bottles up inside. And yeah. So what's the link? Do you have it?
So I have it. So we have two packages. One is the silver package A, your orgasmic body toolkit. And then we have the gold package B, face reading, body language tips, and your orgasmic body toolkit. And I do have the discount offerings, but if you wanted to speak to each of those.
Well, the first one, the silver one, which is Orgasmic Body Toolkit, is a full set of trainings that I've taken the best of all my work and put it together in a package. And the person, even if they've never taken a class from me, they can get so much out of the toolkit. And the first one in there is the Orgasmic Bedroom Yoga, which is just awakening the spinal column before we get out of bed. It's orgasmic. We organize our organs for orgasm, I say. And just by tiny, tiny little movements and start to rebuild in the spinal column and let go. And we do it early in the morning because our conscious brain isn't kicked in yet. So it's a very intimate practice of dropping your consciousness into the spinal column and start working on the spinal column. And then we have a body activation training, which is activating the light body. And these are all, most of these are in, I think they're all, they're video trainings, and then there is one audio. part to it. So I'm actually acting out all of these things so that a person can really get the visual. It's so important. And then we have Reclaim Your Breath, which is what I call vagina breathing. And it's about...
I love that.
I've got three levels of it. So it starts out with a simple breath and then how to turn the breath up the spinal column and bring the life force up into our bodies and open our bodies up that way, allowing Mother Earth's energy to flow through us, her life force, and to create through us. She's done a pretty good job of creation, hasn't she?
I think so.
What she's created here on
right
Earth.
Now.
And then it's three parts. So then we do the cosmic breath where we bring that, we align sort of our breathing tube, which is our center core of our spinal column, and we start firing ourselves up and lighting up the circuits of the body through breath work and conscious activation. And then another one is aligning your orgasmic body. That would be more the outer structure of the body with a plumb line, showing people how to release and get into alignment, into balance within their physical body. And then the fifth item in that toolkit is body scanning meditation, where I take people through the whole body, the journey, what, you know, each toe, what's in each toe, where energy is stored, what issue is stored in each part of the body. So I take a person through the body psychosomatically, and they can already, with that awareness, start to release. And if they're sick or anything, to do a body scan really boosts the immune system. So that's what we're doing, is boosting the immune system. And then we have another part of that is the report, body shapes and meanings in different parts of the body. So we have a lot of visual there too, you know, like heavy thighs, what does that mean, or thin waist. So it gives someone something tangible to look up when they're looking at bodies or their own body. So that's the orgasmic body toolkit. And what's the price on that?
That is, well, $5.97 regularly. And if you use the discount code that Carol's going to provide for you, or I can, it's $400 discount. So that brings, I'm astonished, it brings it down to $197 to
yeah,
get
which
all
you
of
never,
that.
You never see that. And this is the best of the best of my work. And it's really meant to get out there to as many people as possible.
And the
so
link... I was going to say the link for this is on the website. I mean, on the slideshow for this, and then the promo code is actually my name, Marty, M-A-R-T-I, and it's all lowercase. Just so anyone that's interested in that can look at that. And then the second one, Carol, is that Gold Package B face reading, body language tips, and your orgasmic body toolkit. So it's including more. Yeah.
The second one, when the gold package, we've added quite a bit more to it. So you get the whole first one I just talked about, the orgasmic body toolkit, all of that. And then I have a five-set CD series, 5 or 6 hours it is, 5 hours, of face reading, where I'm teaching face reading, and you get a manual with that and a report sheet so you can learn how to read a face. Now, that alone, you know, sells for well over $300, just the face reading, but I've put it into this package. And then we have body language tips. So every 2 days for seven, a series of seven videos comes every 2 days, and it's just 4 minutes of body language tips that you can use if you're a presenter, but also we're all presenters. We're all talking with our bodies, even to your children. And some body language tips that a person can change right away. And that's why we do it every 2 days, so that they give them 2 days to practice what they've just learned. So we don't like to overload people. Yeah. So that whole package is the gold package. And so that one's $1,197. And what's my discount?
$900.
Oh, wow.
So that
okay.
brings it down to $297, and that's just for listeners to the show. If you use that promotional code, Marty, I'm astonished, and I can't thank you enough, Carol, for having put that together. That you're not going to see that again. So,
what's the link?
Oh, the link is so Light Workers Institute.
TheLightWorkersInstitute.com.
Yes, sorry, TheLightWorkersInstitute.com. And then forward, if you want to go to the product link, /toolkit/.
Okay, and then when they go in, it'll have the regular price and they put your discount code in, right? Yeah, I think
yes, exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, it'll show the listeners the price of it on our website, whether it's $1,197. Just add to cart. It will ask for a discount code, and you put Marty in there, and $900 will come off that code. So, and you got to realize this is also Canadian dollars. So
yeah,
you're getting
right.
a lot
even,
less.
Yeah,
that's another
even,
30% off.
Exactly. It's even more amazing. So, I mean, please, I'm promoting this everywhere I can. This is so worth it, and I just want to give this genuine plug. Having worked with Carol twice now, it's astonishing, and it's amazing the work she does. And I have found her to be so authentic, so sincere. She's just who she is. It's tremendous, and I can't speak enough about it. And Carol, I am so honored you are on the show today. And I know we had that glitch last time, and I so appreciate you redoing this. And I wish you the very best with everything, you know, especially that's been going on lately and with the loss of your father. You know, you're just such an amazing woman, and I can't say that, you know, enough. So thank you so much for being here and sharing this space with me, and I wish you the best during this time. And then I'll see you in person in October for sure.
Yes. Yeah, that's just, it takes one to know one. Every person out there is awesome, and everyone, it's your life, it's your body. Just love your body, and your body responds to love, and stay home in your body. That's what I just, when you're having a shower, make love to yourself. Don't think of your to-do list and rub it all over your body. Think of how, touch the skin and see how beautiful it feels, and really it's connecting circuits then. When you use your own hands to activate your flesh. So that's what I'd
awesome.
Like to leave your audience with. So,
thanks so much, Carol. You take really good care, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks, Marty. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
If you're ready to finally free yourself from a job you hate, go to MartyMurphy.com and download career coach Marty Murphy's powerful free video series, Take the Big Leap, to learn the secrets to free yourself to live your dreams and do the rewarding work you love.